In medieval Christendom, there was a happy marriage between science and religion. Catholicism was finally able to shape its own civilization, and it made a society where religion and science were in maximal harmony. There's three things you need to have a science-loving society. Science has to be recognized as independent, has to be protected by the state, and it has to be favorably regarded by religious authorities. Well, all those three things existed in medieval Christendom, and medieval Christendom created an environment that was perfect for humans to penetrate reality and learn about reality, God's reality. This enabled the Catholic scholastics, what we would today call academics, to do two important things. On the one hand, they embraced Aristotle's realism, his logic, and his philosophy, but they rejected, on the other hand, his physics and fixed it so as to give birth to modern science. The Catholic scholastics, they used their Catholic faith and the resulting realistic view of their universe to develop a new philosophical synthesis that perfected Aristotle's philosophy. St. Thomas Aquinas was the main factor in that. But they were also able to apply their perfected realist philosophy to the world around us. Let me just take an example, that of the scholastic Father Jean Buridan and his correction of Aristotle's motion notions. How do rocks move? How do we explain that rocks move? I already mentioned how Aristotle explains it by the attraction of rocks to be on the earth. But Buridan says, you know, that doesn't make sense, that the air surrounding the rocks is moving them up and their natural attraction is moving them down. Because when you run, when any of us run, what does the air do to us? You know, the air is in our face. You can especially detect that when you're driving in your car. You know, the air is pushing against your car. So the air doesn't help you, it impedes you to move. Rather, he said, it seems like my hand imparts an impetus to the rock, which is inside the rock for a time and then slowly dissipates until the rock falls to the ground. And he said, heck, you know, we can probably explain the movement of the heavenly bodies this way as well, instead of having the angels do it. You know, sometimes in the Middle Ages they said the angels were moving the planets. Yeah. He said, well, maybe God just kicked off. He gave the planets an initial push. He pushed the planets, and ever since then they've been moving around in circles by that initial push. So that insight into movement was really the beginning of modern science as we know it. And you had other figures. Bishop Robert Grosseteste in England formulated the scientific method. Father John Buridan, the law of inertial motion. Bishop O'Rame, he formulated solid arguments for heliocentrism. And the great scientists of the 17th century that we all know about, or we think of as starting modern science, they relied upon the work of these medieval scholastics.
Didn't Galileo get excommunicated from the Catholic Church because he believed in heliocentrism?
He did. But this was more of a political problem than a scientific problem. So what Galileo was doing is he was telling the church, look, I've discovered heliocentrism is true, and I've got certain evidence for it. And what I want you to do is to change your interpretation of the Bible. Okay, but it was not a good time to do that because the Protestants were all saying, we interpret the Bible better than the Catholics. We've got a better understanding of the Catholics. So the Catholic Church came out and said, we're changing our interpretation of the Bible. At that moment, it was not a good timing. So what St. Robert Bellarmine told Galileo, he says, Galileo, look, you know, it's very fascinating what you found through your telescope, the moons of Jupiter and all that stuff, but still, that's not conclusive. It's not conclusive proof. You need to go back to doing science and give us more conclusive proof. And don't give us all this nonsense about the tides being evidence of heliocentrism, that somehow Galileo was linking the movement of the tides to heliocentrism, which was ridiculous, and everybody knew that. So effectively, Galileo did not have enough science at that moment to conclusively prove heliocentrism, and the church said, just wait. just wait. Just take a chill pill. Don't try to teach us theology. Do your science. That's your job, okay? You're a scientist. Just do science. Don't teach us theology. Galileo was not content with that. He said, no, 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 no. I want you to get on the heliocentrism bandwagon so you can promote my cause. I want the Catholic Church to promote my cause. And the church said, no, we don't want to do that. And a fight ensued, and, well, the church won because the church said, yeah, we excommunicate you. That's effectively what happened. Does that make sense? Yeah. So later on, there was more solid scientific evidence, something called stellar parallax, the shifting of the stars over the period of a year, a little bit of deviation in the stars because we look at the stars from different positions, that was able to establish heliocentrism on very solid scientific grounds. Okay, so look, fellow Catholics, it's our culture that came from our worldview that invented modern science. And you can tell this to people, and it's solid historical fact, right? There's no question about it. Any historian who's worth his salt today will admit that there's something very solid behind this argument. So the fact that the Catholic faith helped the human race get reality right implies that it knows best the one God who makes reality. It was because of their belief in God and their belief in the Catholic faith that these men of the medieval time were able to penetrate reality more deeply. It was Pierre Duhem, who did the research in the early 1900s to unearth all these documents from the Middle Ages. So we should know his name, and we should mention his name to people and say, Pierre Duhem proved that the Middle Ages invented modern science. Okay, what about Islam? Why didn't Islam do it? We can ask ourselves this question.